North Rock Podcast.
Like Chad said, we're continuing our series, Signs of the Kingdom. We like to spend the time leading up to Easter reflecting on kind of some of the narratives that we find in the New Testament about Jesus. We figure it's a good time to get connected with Jesus as we head towards Easter. And so what we're doing with this series is we're looking at the Gospel of John, and we're looking at how the seven signs that show up in the John kind of specifically edits his narrative to include these seven signs, these seven miracles, to tell us something true about who Jesus is and what he's come to do and what it means to live a part of his kingdom. And so we've been working our way through that, and we're on our fourth sign, okay? So we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000. But before we do that, we're going to pray. So God, thank you that you are always revealing yourself to us. You're always disclosing, and we could not know you if you didn't do that. And so we thank you that you speak a word, and that word has a name, and that name is Jesus, which means God saves. Help us to believe the good news and trust it and live by it. For it's in that name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I know we're a small crew, but I'm going to need some energy just to keep me going, okay? Signs of the Kingdom. I've titled this sermon, Bread from Heaven. You ready? So let's dive in with the story of feeding of the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, Philip, for he himself, Jesus, knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Now one of his disciples, Andrew, my favorite, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" In other words, how are they going to feed so many people? Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place. So they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So, you're familiar with this story, right? It's one of the most well-known. It's attested to in all four of the Gospels, all 3 Synoptics and John and his Gospel. And it tells of this miraculous event, which is the feeding of the multitudes. Now, I love a good meal as much as anybody. In fact, I don't know if you are aware, but this weekend concluded Denver Restaurant Week. And if you're not aware of Denver Restaurant Week, over 2 weekends, a number of different restaurants throughout the Denver area decide to participate, and they set a menu specifically for patrons that where you can go to some of the nicer restaurants in the city and get at a discounted rate an exposure to the food that they cook. And so Friday night, Robin and I got together with some good friends of ours that we haven't seen in a year, maybe even a year and a half together. And we had this great meal downtown, and it was just the best evening. There's something about gathering together and sitting around and enjoying each other's company and eating good food, right? But I don't know how good that meal was. I have a feeling it doesn't compare to what took place 2,000 years ago on this mountain in the region of Galilee, overlooking the Sea of Tiberias. And that there's something about this story that captured the imagination of Jesus' followers, his disciples, that it became central to what they understood God was up to in this person, in Jesus. So what was God up to? Remember, we've been talking about signs as pointing to something true, not being the thing in of themselves. Yes, they affect something. They make something happen. They heal a person. They bring a child back to life. They change water into wine. Something affects, is effectual. A change happens. But the point isn't the sign itself, but what the sign points to. Are you with me? So what does the feeding of the 5,000 point to? That's the question we need to be asking today. And here's my best attempt at answering that. If we're going to understand what God's up to in Jesus with the feeding of the multitudes, we can't fully grasp that unless we go back in the story. In fact, we got to go back a long ways. See, well, part of what captured the imagination of those disciples is there was something about what Jesus did with the feeding of the 5,000 that harkened back to their own people's history. So, we get a taste of what happens in their history in Psalm 78. I want to read that with you and then unpack a little bit about what we're talking about. In Psalm 78, speaking about Israel, we hear this. They, Israel, forgot what he, God, had done, and the miracles that he had shown them. In the sight of their ancestors, he worked marvels in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it. Remember that? And he made water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light. He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. Remember that? He made streams come out of rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food that they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Even though he struck rocks so that water gushed out and torrents overflowed, can he also give bread or provide meat for his people?" Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of rage. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Mortals ate of the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance, and they ate and were filled, for he gave them what they craved. Now, what does this psalm speak of? What story is it telling? Do you remember this story? When Israel was wandering in the desert, and God provided manna so that they wouldn't starve. Do you remember? This was a huge event for God's people. It's a part of the whole story of the Exodus, how God delivered his people out of bondage and slavery, and took them into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness they were tested and they were tried. For 40 years they wandered there. And in that time, God showed up. See, God shows up in the wilderness. And he reveals himself in that place. And he not only did he part water so that they could walk through, but then on the other side, while they wandered in the desert, he provided water for them out of rock, and he provided food for them out of the sky. This story is recounted in Numbers chapter 11, and it talks about how Israel was starting to starve, and it says that they had this great craving for food. And they started talking about how it would be better if we went back to Egypt. Because at least there we got food. Remember the fish that we would eat? Remember the melons that we would get to? Remember all that good food that we had while we were in Egypt? God, what has God done bringing us out here? Can he even do it? Yeah, sure, he did provide water from a rock. But can he provide bread from heaven? And so Moses, frustrated, is surrounded by all these crowds of people who are starving. They're craving food. And in a kind of irritation or even skepticism, he says to God, God, what are you doing with your servant? Why would you stick me with this mess? How are we going to provide food for all these people? And God tells him, don't you understand? Don't you know that I've got this? Don't you know that I can manifest my power in such a way that you and all of Israel will be satisfied? And so they wake up and there is this stuff all over the ground and on the bushes and whatnot that they can glean and that they eat and that satisfies their cravings. This is the story that's referenced in Numbers chapter 11. This is the story that we hear about in Psalm 78. Because of this part of Israel's story, there grew a tradition within God's people that said one day someone will come like Moses, a prophet, and that prophet will be able to do signs like these. Feed us from heaven. Provide manna. And he will be the true Messiah. Are you with me? Okay, so then let's go back to the Sea of Tiberias. When what we see going on in Tiberias is that following is not necessarily faith. I want to remind you of this story. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He says this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Here we have, just like Moses, Jesus surrounded by a crowd who are hungry. They're craving. They desire satisfaction. But unlike Moses, who asked God, "What are we going to do? I don't know how to feed these people." When Jesus asks Philip, "How are we going to feed this people?" He asks. Moses was testing God, but in this situation, Jesus is testing Philip and saying, "Do you have faith? Do you believe? Yes, you've been following, but do you believe? Do you understand what's going on here?" For Jesus knows what he's going to do. And this is why I say, following is not necessary. This kind of following is not necessarily the same thing as faith. For the crowds had followed Jesus. Why? They had seen the signs of him healing people. All four of the Gospels testified this was a major part of Jesus' earthly ministry, that he would go from town to town and heal people and bring them to health and fullness of life. And as a result, the crowds began to gather. Because you know what the crowds love? A good show, right? When you hear that something like this, a miracle worker's going on, you want to see, you want to be a part of, you want to get it. But even though they were following him, what we're starting to realize is they didn't yet believe in him. And so he asked Philip, "What are we going to do?" And Philip's like, "I don't know." But Andrew says, "Well, there is this boy here who who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But, I don't know, what are they amongst so many people? I don't know if that's going to help much. I mean, this is what we got. I just don't know if it's enough. Are you with me? And Jesus says, it's enough. Watch what I'm going to do. I want to highlight for you a couple things. First, the barley loaves. Bread made from barley was the thing that the poor people ate. Those were who were in poverty, who didn't have much. And these barley loaves and 2 fish amounted to a picnic, right? And so in particular, what I want to highlight is that when Andrew's doing this thing, it's not that he fully gets it, but you get the sense, at least I get the sense, that it's almost like he's working through this deal. And he's like, I've been with Jesus. I've watched him do some crazy things. I don't know how this matters, but if he's going to ask, what do I bring? What do we have? I might as well tell him what we have. Have you ever wondered how much you bring to the table with God? Have you ever wondered if it's not enough? Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Interestingly, in the other Gospels, Jesus has the disciples distribute the food. But in this narrative, it's Jesus himself who gives the food to those who are hungry. Do you see that? After he gives thanks. We're going to get back to that. Finally, he says, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. Why is that important? Why add that little bit of info into the story? What's important about 12? I'll highlight that for you in a sec. So all this then, so Jesus does this miraculous thing, and then, unimaginable, impossible possibility of this meal unfolds, the crowds gather and start getting amped up. OMG. Like, could it be that Moses has returned? Could it be that God has provided a new prophet? This is impossible. Could it be this is the Messiah? This is the King. And so as they start getting geared up, we're told that Jesus, knowing that they were about to try to grab him and possess him and declare him to be king, Jesus says, I'm not your mascot. I'm not your prop. I'm not going to just fulfill your expectations. He may in fact be the king, but he's going to be the king. If he's going to be declared king, we have to let him define what that looks like. And so he takes off. He leaves. He goes across in the dead of night, and they're left in the dark. He books. This raises for me a question. What do you hunger for? What do you crave? What do you desire? When Jesus leaves, he goes across Galilee, and then we're told the story that the disciples go looking for him, and they set sail on a boat, and a storm blows over the sea. And in that moment, we have another well-known story, right? Here he comes, walking across the water, dividing the waters, as only Yahweh would do. And he joins back with them. And then he begins to unpack what just took place with the feeding of the 5,000. So what do you hunger for? In other words, he's asking. Let's read this together. In chapter 6, in verse 25, it begins, "When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal.'" See, he says, you follow me here because you saw the signs, but you don't know how to read the signs. You were just looking at the effects of the signs. Did you see that? You ate your fill of the loaves. And because of that, you want to be close to me and find out what it's all about. But what you don't yet understand what those loaves meant. Just like you didn't understand what the wine from water or the child raised from the dead or healed from sickness or the man by the pool. These are all pointings to some deeper and more profound truth. You are so taken with the effects of the signs, but you don't understand what they signify. Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Okay, Jesus, if you've got this bread, if you've got this food that endures for eternal life, what must we do to perform the works of God? Give us the program. Give us the plan. Tell us what boxes we've got to check off. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Well, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Quoting Psalm 78. And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." When they quote to him from Psalm 78, "He gave them bread from heaven to eat," they quote that saying, "Are you going to be like Moses? Because Moses gave us bread, manna from heaven." And Jesus said, "You've got this wrong. Who's the subject of that sentence? When it says he gave them bread from heaven to eat, it wasn't talking about Moses, was it? It was talking about Yahweh, God. God gave us this bread to eat. So when you're asking for the program, you're asking for the process to know how to go about this. You want to know what work you have to do to get this bread. You need to understand this is the only work that can be done by God. Finally, just thinking about what do you hunger for? Many of the Jews at that time, after the deliverance in the desert and manna, would reflect on it, what it says in Deuteronomy, where it says, "For man cannot live on bread alone, but from the very word of God." And they thought, oh, that means that the Torah is the thing that will satisfy us. The Bible, the instruction that we get from God. But Jesus is saying something more deeply than that. He's saying, only if it's bread that comes from heaven, then it can only be one from heaven that can satisfy. In other words, look at the signs and the effect. If you get caught up in the effect, you know, that child that gets delivered from her sickness is still going to die. The water that gets turned to wine to sustain the party, eventually the party is going to end. The food that you just ate to satisfy your hunger, you're going to be hungry again. But there is this heavenly reality that will satisfy completely, that will never run short. And that has to be what God does. So, sir, give us this bread always. In response, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been given me, but raise it up on the last day. Remember how all that bread had to be collected? Nothing could go to waste. Nothing that had been given to Jesus can be lost. And how much bread was collected? 12 baskets, you remember? Why 12? The 12 tribes of Israel, representing all of God's people. I am the bread of life, and everything I've come to do, what the Father in heaven has told me to do. He's given me a task, and nothing can go to waste. I must raise up all of it, collect all of it, be a part of all of it. This indeed is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. The point of this sign of the feeding of 5,000 was to say that though you are hungry and you crave, the only satisfaction that will ultimately fulfill that craving, it must come from heaven. It must be the bread of life. It must be the very life of God given to us in the Son, in His Son, in Jesus. Now, what's cool about this story, as we kind of begin to wrap up, is that we're told that this miracle that takes place in Galilee was right around the time of the Passover. And we're told that when Jesus collects those loaves and those fish, he gives thanksgiving. He says thanks. The word is literally Eucharist. Are you familiar with that word? It's what some Christian traditions call the table, the Lord's table, the table of thanksgiving. For it hearkens to and points to a deeper reality. When Jesus gives thanks and breaks those loaves and distributes his life to the people, he's pointing to a deeper truth. For on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Just like when God made his covenant with his people, blood was spilt in the sacrificial lamb. So the New Testament writers look back and go, OMG. Look at what God has done. Bread from heaven distributed to the people so that we might live his life. His life given to us. So as the worship team comes up and we prepare to take communion together, I want to just remind you, what are we supposed to do, right? We always ask that question. Oh, I want that. How do I get that bread? What do we need to do? What do I need to do? What do we need to do? This is God's work. All that we have to do is to give thanks and receive it in faith. There's a difference between following Jesus and believing him. And so what it takes is just being honest and saying, God, what do I crave? What do I hunger for? What have I been trying to fill my life with to answer that question? God, I confess that I don't know how to answer that question. Would you reveal it to me and would you show me how I might be filled up in you, satisfied in you, that I might not hunger anymore? Remember what it says in Deuteronomy, that he humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted. It was something totally new. In order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And that word has a name, and that name is Jesus, the bread from heaven. Can we say amen to that? Then I invite you, as our ushers come up, they're going to offer you communion. You can come forward as we respond in worship and in song. Take some of that bread, take some of that juice, take it into yourself, and allow Jesus to satisfy the hunger of your life with his. In Jesus' name we pray. God, thank you for the life that you give us in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would speak gospel to us this morning, that good news would resound, and that it would awaken within us faith, trust, so that we would not just follow you with a desire to see a show, but that we might experience newness of life, satisfaction for our hunger, life in the midst of our death, hope in the midst of our sorrow, and that we would give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we close, I hope you see at least a glimpse that to understand the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it's actually bracketed by two other stories. The manna that came from heaven that delivered God's people from their slavery and their bondage, and the Last Supper, in which Jesus breaks and sheds his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins and the deliverance of the whole world. And that there's this golden chain that runs through all three stories. That he is the true bread of life. He is the true Moses who saves the people. He's the bread that can satisfy your heart. And that all that is left for us to do is to take it and eat it into us, or into ourselves, and let it sustain us. When all the other things seem to go awry, God promises you, I have more than enough. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will give you my life in Jesus. Amen? Then let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name I pray and trust. Amen. Receive this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Friends, go in peace. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.